What's going on, everybody? Welcome inside this garage. Once again, it's time for the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Gritter, third host of the EG3 show NASCAR podcast. We are all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And it is Monday night. Y'all know what time it is. It is the post-race edition of the podcast, and we're going to talk all about the All-Star Race with down on Saturday night, as well as we're going to talk some IndyCar as well. But first, we will talk NASCAR next. Yes, the class was announced a week or so ago, and the NASCAR Next class was announced. Of course, Haley Deegan was a part of that as well. We're going to do a little change up for you guys tonight, starting with that, and we're going to work our way across the board. Of course, the trucks were in action as well last Friday night, and these two names have been familiar all season long so far, at least in the first half of the season, with Johnny Sauter and Kevin Harvick taking no prisoners in winning these races. A lot more coming up on this edition, post-race style, EG3 show. But yes, like I said, switching gears, starting off with the NASCAR Next Class of 2018. Nine drivers were announced in this diverse, the next possibilities of this class being stars. Of course, nine drivers were announced, and I'm going to start from and work my way across the board here. Get familiar with these names. Of course, one of those you should be already familiar of. We've talked about her a few times on this podcast this season, but Ryan Vargas, who's 17 years old from La Mirada, California. Of course, right now he's racing in a NASCAR K&N Pro Series East. So far, his best career finish in the K&N East Series is a ninth place run at Langley Speedway this season. That's one of the drivers in that class. Also, a guy that we saw while we're in Kansas City. Well, I didn't see him, but he was in action on the television set. That was the person of Tanner Thornton, who put on a top 15 finish in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. Hometown from Midian, Nevada, and of course, Camping World Truck Series, and currently also running in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series as well. Best career finish to this point, and I might have to correct myself right off the bat. 16th place finish going back to the Monster Mile, so actually I kind of missed that on that. So he did race in Kansas City a few weeks ago, and then of course at the Monster Mile, which is obviously a tough place to race, and this young man put down a top 20 finish out there in at Dover Raceway. Okay, Zane Smith is next on the list. Age 18 year old from Huntington Beach, California. This is the second young man that's out from the West Coast swing out there, and he's racing currently in the ARCA Racing Series. Best career finish in the ARCA Series to this point. First career victory coming at Fairground Speedway in Nashville this year, and he followed it up right away with another victory at Talladega Speedway. And oh, by the way, that happened a month or so ago as well, while the ARCA Series was racing in Talladega Speedway. So Zane Smith put his name on the map there with a couple big wins already this season. Next up, Will Rogers, and he's a 23-year-old out of Murrieta, California, another California kid. He's currently racing in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series. Best career finish up until this point. He has victories at the Glen and New Jersey Motorsports Park that came last season. Best career finish in the K&N West Series. A pair of second place place finishes. And he's pretty good on road courses. Already mentioned a win at the Glen. runner-up at Sonoma as well, and then also coming at Evergreen Speedway last year as well. Will Rogers, pretty talented in showing why he's on that list. Next, Chase Purdy, the 18-year-old from Meridian, Mississippi. Excuse me, butchered his hometown there. Meridian, Mississippi. Sorry, Mississippi folks. ARCA Racing Series, best career finish so far in that series. The fifth place finish at Salem Speedway this season. And he can be found on Twitter as well. Next up, the 16-year-old Derek Klaus from Stratford, Wisconsin, a Midwest kid who's racing the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series West. Best career finish in the Can-Am West. A pair of race victories at Kern County Raceway Park last year. And he went back-to-back this year. So he's went back-to-back consecutive years at winning at Kern County Raceway. You listen to the EG3 Show post-race All-Star Edition. I'll get to all the exciting stuff momentarily, but wanted to start off with the NASCAR Next Class of 2018, which was announced a couple weeks ago. Riley Herbst, age 18, hometown. He's from the Las Vegas, Nevada area, and he's participating in the ARCA Racing Series right now. Best career finish in the ARCA Series, and he captured his first ever victory at Pocono last year. And he can be also, these kids will be found on Twitter. You have more information. There's more on NASCAR.com. You have a chance to read and look for that. Obviously, Haley Deegan, the 16-year-old phenom from, let's see if I can get this right, Temecula, California. That wasn't that bad as I thought it was going to be. NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series West that Haley is competing in right now. Best career finish in the Can-Am West Series is 7th this season at Kern County Raceway Park. And she received highly compliments from Kevin Harvick already this year. And this name was on the radar last year as well. So, you know, she's getting all the attention. Obviously, there's no more Danica Patrick in NASCAR anymore. And speaking of Danica Patrick, talk about her on a back end of this podcast and running her final motorsports race on Memorial Day weekend. One of the biggest weekends in all of NASCAR, if not the biggest, coming up this weekend, the Indianapolis 500, where she looks to go out on a high note. More on the Indy 500 itself also later on in this podcast as well. But Haley Deegan, get ready, folks. Haley Deegan is going to be a factor, if not already. And last but not least on this list for the class of 2018 in NASCAR Next, Anthony Alfredo, the 18-year-old from Ridgefield, Connecticut, East Coast, from the north side of the U.S., NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series East. Best career finish in the Can-Am East to this point. He has won second. Well, actually, he won his second race of the Twin 100s at South Boston Speedway in Virginia. And that track has been getting named a lot here over the last month and a half or so. South Boston, I've never been to that, but I've heard it's a good racetrack there for pretty much all the guys who are from Virginia who have raced there as well. Pretty good short track, but I have never been there before. So, talent across the board. That is your NASCAR Next class of 2018 right there for you folks. So, definitely, there's more information on that as well. Go to NASCAR.com to learn even more about the possible next young stars in this sport. And speaking of stars, nice transition to the Cable World Truck Series, which raced on Friday night. And like I said at the top, Johnny Sauter, Harvick 2.5. He continues to take no names in the Cable World Truck Series this year, capturing win number 3 on the year, taking over the race in the last 10 laps and pulling away. And Johnny Sauter, who didn't think for a moment there that he would win at this track, finally gets one on his bucket list, winning the race over there. And of course, Kyle Busch ends up in frustration as he comes up on the shorthand of the stick once again. But Johnny Sauter, third win of the season, gets it over rival Kyle Busch to get it done. And it doesn't matter who it is, Johnny Sauter taking no names right now in the Truck Series. Brandon Jones finished third, and the next regular in the top five, that would be the person of Brett Moffitt, who I believe won a stage in this race. Ben Rhodes finished fifth. Stuart Friesen puts together another solid top 10 finish. He comes home in sixth. Parker Kligerman, the NASCAR and NBC analyst, rallies from behind to finish in the 10th, in the top 10, 7th. He was a non-factor for the majority of that race until late. Noah Gregson, the winner, who dominated Kansas, the backs up another solid top 10 effort there in the 8th position. John Nemechek, 9th, and Ty Gillen rounds out your top 10 positions in the Truck Series race, the North Carolina Education Lottery 200 that went down the other day. Now I'm going to pull up the driver standings in the Camping World Truck Series EG3 Show post-race All-Star Race Edition tonight. Eddie Grader III here with you guys tonight, checking in with you guys on this Monday night. And the playoff points continue to rack on up for Johnny Sauter. But first, we'll take a look, obviously, at the regular original standings. And Sauter extends his regular season points lead by 59 to Noah Gregson. Brett Moffitt is third. Ben Rhodes fourth. Grant Infinger is in the top five. There's a gap there between Ben Rhodes and Grant Infinger. And when you look at the playoff points right now, Sauter 17. The next one close to Johnny Sauter is Gregson with 10. Brett Moffitt, who won a stage over the weekend, has 6 playoff points. And then Ben Rhodes just has 2. Stuart Friesen has the other 1. That's all the playoff points that's been dished out so far to the Truck Series regulars there. Sorry, I lost a train of thought for a moment, but Johnny Sauter right now on fire, and he continues to roll on along with the Dominator, Kevin Harvick, as well. More on Harvick as we get rolling on the EG3 Show here. Eddie Grader III here with you guys this evening once again. And I lost a train of thought there for a moment, but I guess I'll get it back later. But now, time to switch our gears to what happened in the NASCAR All-Star Saturday event over the weekend. And I tell you what, the racing was very, very good. You know, had still a little doubt there with the new package and everything, but this was an, especially the main event, the All-Star race, was something else. I did not see the open events at all due to taking care of some business after work. But the racing itself, I did see the highlights of the open and the finishes. You know, I got all three. My predictions were wrong, obviously, from the preview show, which I picked Almirola, Byron, and I thought Chase Elliott was going to win a stage. That did not articulate that. So Chase Elliott won a van vote, the people's champ, getting in on a van vote for, I believe, the third year in a row that Chase Elliott has won the van vote. And, of course, the first stage will belong to Alex Bowman from Herrick Motorsports. He pulled away late to secure his spot in the All-Star race. And then the next, Daniel Suarez had himself a Saturday to remember. He continues to improve in that 19 Arias Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. He put on a hell of a show over the weekend, and he had definitely had a chance to opportunity to not only race Harvick like he did, but pass Harvick, which there was no hole right there in front of Harvick late in that race, and Suarez had to come up second, but he was awfully, awfully racy all night long, and it showed. Suarez got the job done in the open, and then the best finish in the open, once again, was the third and final stage of the afternoon. Bubba Wallace, Chase Elliott were doing their battle with 10 to go, and then AJ Allmendinger was doing the dinger up high, putting on a show, and then slamming the door on Erik Jones, Chase Elliott, and the rest of the field. And AJ Allmendinger gets another win in the Monster Energy Series open race again. He's not a stranger to getting a trophy in this race. And AJ Allmendinger also, if there were, and maybe I would have switched roles. Allmendinger was put on the most favorite show than Daniel Suarez, if not for him hitting the wall. But AJ Allmendinger, he was lighting them up on the high side when it came to prime time, but also put on a show in the daytime, also passing some good cars, and then he'll hold his ground for the final spot. Bubba Wallace was definitely disappointed in that, and I did vote for Bubba Wallace to try to get in to the big show. That did not happen, thanks to, of course, Chase Elliott not getting in or win in one of these stages, EG3 show. Here with the latest post-race edition All-Star remix here with you guys this evening. Thank you for tuning in to the show on this Monday night. A little on the tired side, but hey, I enjoy doing the podcast with you guys each and every week. And once again, we had another exciting event, the All-Star race, which was finally competitive from start to finish. So you had your open guys, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, AJ Allmendinger, and Chase Elliott, your fan vote winner, getting an opportunity there to win $1 million. And I told you on the Kansas post-race show last week that I witnessed a proposal on the big screen while I was at Kansas Speedway last week. And for the second consecutive week, at least for me, I don't know about any of y'all, but at least for me, I saw a proposal once again. This time via Jimmy Johnson was a part of this as well. And this couple was trying to find the right words. I think they compete in biking events across America. I'm not sure about that. So only saw brief pictures here and there. I did not hear the full story about this couple, but obviously they were with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson participated in that. And of course, Michael Waltrip was there doing his little grid walk thing. And then obviously the star of the night, Bryson Burns, the son of Steve Burns there, the late Steve Burns, obviously passed, unfortunately, a couple years ago. Bryson Burns put on a nice show there. And, of course, Rampage was on the pregame festivities as well, along with Chris, pairing up with Chris Myers there. Had to be a little bit intimidating for Chris Myers, if you ask me. But for the second week in a row, I have now witnessed another proposal. But this time, it was on pit road in front of my television set where all that went down, and it was a great moment indeed. One, probably up there with the racing, and definitely takes a back seat a little bit to what we saw with this package. Obviously, the plates were on the cars this time, and we talked about how much we would see the leads change. We didn't really witness any lead changes, really, for that matter. We saw a lot of passing for second place, and maybe late in this. I'm trying to recall all the stages here, but yeah, we did see a battle in the third stage between Larson and Truex there. Truex and Keselowski were battling, Truex overtaking him, in that third stage, and probably the race turn in that stage. I'm going to work my way towards that in that 8-car wreck that changed the game, really, for Kevin Harvick once again. And when you're Kevin Harvick, you're good, you're good. And right now, nothing can go wrong for the four of Stewart Haas Racing's Kevin Harvick EG3 show here tonight, post-race edition, 80 grade to third. Once again, here with you guys tonight. Gather around the campfire, all-star race edition, and stage one went to Kevin Harvick. This was probably looking like, once again, that Kevin Harvick would dominate this entire race, but we saw a lot of passing, more notably, really, A.J. Allmendinger. Again, he brought the whipping stick with him in this race this past weekend. Allmendinger on the high side, and then tailing along with him, Joey Logano tag teaming up there to try to get up there and race with the leaders there at that point. And there was a fierce battle. And we saw battles really within the top five throughout the evening. We didn't see, from my perspective, I didn't really see a lot of lead changes until late, obviously. But when you had a fast car, and the four was definitely up there, 18 to 78. Again, the normal cast of suspects in normal cars you would see up there in Mile and a Half, 78 to 18. The four, the 42 had to roar himself up there from the back of the pack. So there's a lot of jostling, a lot of fierce battles within that top five throughout the night. It was really, really fun to watch and up on your seat action as the night progressed. But Harvick took stage one, and there was a moment in that stage one where Kyle Busch was trying to get past Martin Truex there and was complaining, like he has been complaining all weekend long, complaining that he did not win the race in the truck series, and asking a 78 or whatever to move out of the way. Or that's what the Fox broadcast was talking about anyways, from what they were hearing. And I definitely agree. This is not the All-Star race. This is not the time. You have to earn your way to the front and not get anything handed to you like that. And applaud Truex for not giving the 18 that spot, just like he did that championship battle last November, that fierce battle where he didn't get anything up. He did the same thing for a second to Kyle Busch, or Kyle Busch couldn't get by Truex at all, claiming he had a better car during that time run. But A.J. Allmendinger was the show. He and Daniel Suarez were the shows of the evening, that's for sure. And then Logano had a little bit of beef there with Kyle Larson. I'll get to that momentarily as we continue to digest this all-star race. Stage two, though, Kyle Busch did get the jump on Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick had a bad pit stop that set him to the back end of the top 10. He was struggling. So it was not your typical four win dominance, if you will. I know it's not a points race or whatnot, but I know it's very little to take out of this. This is a whole different package. You know, you want passing all over, and we saw cars spread out, though, but there was a lot of action within the top five, even the back end of the top 10. But we saw a lot of fierce passing, bold moves, especially late. Kyle Busch winning stage two, having to hold off a pesky Suarez once again, the common denominator of the night. Daniel Suarez, like I said, had a terrific Saturday night, and once my guy was out, I was looking for him to try to pounce on Harvick, which obviously that did not happen. But Daniel Suarez, you know, coming off that top three finish at Dover, had a disappointing week after that Dover race at Kansas, where he and Bowman got together. And then let's not forget, he had that penalty, L1 penalty, that kind of cost him to move outside the playoff position right now. So you wonder, you know, he's won, got his first win at Michigan in the Xfinity Series a couple years ago. That really set him off. And we still got Michigan coming up. Two races, by the way, at Michigan. We still got Watkins Glen, which was very good at. Got his first stage win last year at the Glen. We got that track this summer as well. So who knows? You know, Daniel Suarez here, the way that he continues to improve here in his second year, Who knows? Maybe he might get a checkered flag here and punch a ticket to the postseason the way that he's been driving. And you gotta feel, even though Almonte did finish in the top 10, though, in this All-Star race, though, it could have been a lot more for Almonte because that car was working really, really good. And the theme of the night also, from what I take as well, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, the cars had to handle on the high side, really, for the most part. You know, you had cars, you know, working still that white line. Harvick was doing it. Truex was doing it some a little bit. Kyle Busch was also doing that as well, most notably. But a lot of cars were working the high side, middle to high side, getting that car wound up, keeping that momentum. But if you saw, got in a three-wide situation or did not get off the corner very well, you would lose momentum and the next car would basically blow past you. We saw a lot of that on Saturday night. A lot of moves, a lot of fierce battles all over the racetrack. Kyle Busch taking stage two and then stage three. Martin Truex Jr., you know, Brad Keselowski stays out, or didn't stay out. He only took two tires. I believe he stayed out, I think, but no, he came in the pits. He came out first with two tires. And then Truex and Kyle Busch and all of them. And Kevin Harvick, again, folks, let's note that he was still struggling with that race car. And the race changed in the stage, especially the last two laps of the race. I believe Kasey Kahne nailed the wall in turn number two or three, one of those turns. But the main thing, Kasey Kahne crashed. And Truex looked like he was going to win this stage. And he had one of the cars to compete for $1 million. And it was unfortunate that he got caught up the next. He pitted for four fresh tires along with Kyle Busch and others. And next thing you know, we're crashing off turn three. Kurt Busch, who had a rough night, he caused the first caution of the evening as well. And they had, obviously, Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Clint Boyer was involved in that, and Brad Keselowski kind of finished him off there, getting heavy damage on the front end of that race car as well. So definitely, Truex, he definitely had a chance to compete up there. It would have been interesting. He would have got by that little hornet's nest there, but Stenhouse got loose, nailed the left rear of the 7-8, and off he went. And there goes his chances. Kyle Busch was squanched in the middle of that as well. So definitely this race changed, really opened the door. And Harvick on the high side of Suarez got around Suarez and captured the checkered flag in stage three. So that really changed the game. That's the EG3 game changer of the week right there. That caution set up everything. And if Truex would have gotten out of that mess, he was looking like a definite contender that would have contended for this win. Because he was, I think, I know we're not going to run this package anymore this year. This was a one-time thing, and hopefully we might see it again sometime at some point next year. You know, this package can definitely be used like places like Indianapolis, like we saw last year. Pocono can definitely use this, and Kevin Harvick mentioned this in his presser over the weekend, that the Xfinity Series cars will run this package at Michigan. So I'm definitely going to be intrigued by that as well. But yes, we saw a lot more passing definitely over the last several years of this All-Star race that we've seen boring races. But this one by far is the most exciting one in some time, with all the passing going on, bold moves, trying to go four wide into three, whatever you want to call that. But Harvick going past Suarez and then having to hold off Daniel Suarez in the last 10 lap dasher for all the marbles there. And Kevin Harvick, this is not a points race win, but this is another win. Win number six, if you count the five in the regular season so far, six wins now. But keep in mind, the All-Star race is not a points race. And the beat goes on for Rodney Childers, Kevin Harvick. Once again, everything goes right for this race team. You can't lose right now. And like I said, he has an opportunity to win possibly double digits here in the regular season before we even turn our attention to the postseason. And even with that said, you know, things, you know, is it too soon? I heard a podcast either a few days ago or somewhere along the lines of, you know, is Kevin Harvick winning too soon? That was the question I was brought up. And, you know, the right time is the right time. You want to be at your best. This happens every year in sports, whether it's NHL, the MLB playoffs, the football playoffs. You want to be playing your best when crunch time rolls around. And we still have another 12 races to go somewhere in there before we are entering in playoff mode. Is it too soon? And, you know, a lot of going back to last year in Martin Truex Jr.'s championship run, more on Truex, by the way, on the back end of the episode also. But Truex, there was a lot of pressure, a lot of edge on him. You know, the way that he was leading laps, winning races and all of that. You know, if he don't win a championship, the season will be a failure because of all of that. It comes down to one race. And I think the same thing is really going to be starting to creep on Kevin Harvick. Yes, he's a former champion in 2014 and all that other stuff, but the way that this team has won races, domination, rallying back to win, putting yourself in the right position to win these races, is it too soon? I don't know. Time will tell, especially, you know, their mindset is unbelievable how, you know, we're not satisfied with the win. We want to continue to get better. We want to continue to get better across the board. And I said this at some point of motion last week. I've said this a lot pretty much over the past first half of the year. As we get ready for the second half of the year, everybody's clearly catching a four. But, you know, what I saw, and this might be nothing. Don't mind me. This might be nothing. I know we were racing on plates and whatnot, but the 18 was fast. The 78, the 42, the 22 was up there also at one range or another. But really, those four cars, 4, 18, 78 to 42, all of them were pretty fast. Like you see on the usual, on a normal car, quote unquote normal cars during the week. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if those teams can close the gap. Even the Ford neighbors of Stewart Haas, Penske Racing, they've been up there all year long. Can Blaney close the deal, some of these cats? So, Keselowski ain't been the victory lane. See, some the big names of the sport have not been the victory lane. I've said this for the last couple weeks now, and they're going to have to study really hard if they're going to knock off Kevin Harvick in that four car. And that statement is going to ring true. Like I said, you know, all this domination, all this winning that's going on in this first half of the year, that's happening right now. Do you have enough when it comes down to crunch time in the playoffs? Will you have that same kind of success? Time will tell. That's a really hard question to ask, especially when the final four race is down to just one race and anything. Anything can happen. We have seen it over and over and over again in the championship homestead finale that we've seen wrecks take out championship contenders. We see domination. We see game-changing moments. And your season right now comes down to one race. I know we're months down the road from the championship four race, but the way that thing's going right now, like Truex last year, he had his free ticket. Kevin Harvick, the way that he's putting him up, putting him down, getting all those playoff points by via the wins, he's going to have a free spot in that championship four unless somehow he self-destructs in the playoffs, which, I mean, call me crazy, but we've seen crazier things happen. Kyle Busch winning 8 races in the regular season and then was a non-factor, had all this bad luck happen when the playoffs happened a few years ago. So, I'm just saying, you know, Harvick, nothing can go wrong with this team right now. You're putting your right set in your putting yourself in proper position to win the race, and nothing can stop you right now. But I love their mindset. But the question you have to ask yourself, though, it has to be in your back of your mind, is it too soon to have all the success? Time will tell once we get there here in the postseason. We're going to take our intermission right now in the EG3 show here tonight, post-race reaction. We're just going to name off the top 10 finishers, and we're going to talk a little IndyCar as well when we come back here on this post-race edition of the podcast. You're listening to the EG3 show. We will be back here in just a moment. Show is back here with you guys tonight, post-race all-star edition. Eddie Gritter III here with you guys tonight. We are all about the world of NASCAR. If you guys just tuning in to the podcast, Xfinity Series, Camping World Truck Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, and Kevin Harvick, shocker, wins another race. The Harvicking train has entered into Charlotte and is moving along at a swift pace. Take a look at the top 10 finishers, just the top 10 finishers from the All-Star race. Kevin Harvick leading the most laps in this race, 36 of the 93. Then Daniel Suarez. This race actually went into overtime mode, by the way. So Harvick winning this race in overtime, of course. Daniel Suarez, what a night, winning one of the stages in open, and it puts up a hell of a fight against Harvick. But Suarez had an opportunity to probably pass Harvick, but that door was already shut. Harvick to the outside of Suarez. Suarez could not even make a move to get in front of him. That was a race there. And then, of course, plate track. When you talk about plate racing, you talk about the Fords. And Harvick had a little help from his Ford teammate, Ford manufacturer teammate, in Joey Logano, who comes home in the third spot. Denny Hamlin, who also was pushing Suarez, trying to do his best he can. But Ford outbest Toyota in this battle in the All-Star race. Hamlin, fourth. Van Vogt winner, Chase Elliott 5th, Jimmy Johnson 6th, Kyle Larson 7th, who led 6 laps of the evening. A.J. Allmendinger, who hit tacked the wall in the second stage, but still rallied to finish in the top 10, though. But it, like I said in this segment 1, it could have been a lot more for Allmendinger if he hadn't hit the wall, because that car looked like it was going to the front, and he could have been the star of the night. Kyle Busch, even though he was right in the peanut butter and jelly sandwich of that 8-car wreck, finished in a nice spot. And Kasey Kahne somehow finished in the 10th spot. I don't know how the hell that happened, but Kasey Kahne finished in the 10th spot. And that's your top 10 All-Star Race 2018 belong to Kevin Harvick, the man who is on top of the world, NASCAR world, right now. So Harvick has all this momentum, and again, remember, Kevin Harvick already won 3-1 once already. Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. He won 2/3 of that West Coast swing before he and Larson had a get together. That any chances of that, And now he'll have another opportunity to win three in a row. And would this be something if he were to capture the Coca-Cola 600, the longest race of the NASCAR season? Can he pull it off? Well, there will be a lot of miles to decide that. We'll have a preview of that, obviously, going into a huge weekend of racing coming up on Sunday. Man, oh man, a lot of intriguing questions coming into this weekend, going in on all three races all together. That's not including the Xfinity Series race that's going to happen on Saturday. EG3 show, 80 degree to third, post-race edition with you guys tonight on this Monday night. Excuse me there for that music there. That's the closing music, which is going to happen after we hear from we lived the last two laps of the All-Star race, and then we'll obviously just heard a little bit of the closing music. Sorry about that, folks. We're still on working in the garage for the EG3 show. But yes, Harvick, can anybody stop him? That's going to be the obvious question, obviously, of the week there in that position. So Harvick getting his second All-Star victory of in his career in cold, hard cash for Kevin Harvick coming up big. And again, you put yourself in the right position. If all the dominoes fall your way, you have an opportunity to win the race. And again, we're talking about Stewart Haas Racing again in victory lane. All right, folks, switching gears now, talking a little bit about the IndyCar series. Yes, they had qualifying over the weekend as well. There's a big story coming out of the Indianapolis 500 involving one of the bigger names on the series. James Hinchcliffe did not make this field. My goodness, had a little issue with another driver during his qualifying run, and that really sucks for Hinchcliffe. And this is, when I look at this field, this starting grid, all the way across the board, from top to bottom, this is a star-studded field that we got on par for Sunday afternoon. And this is even probably even better, a little bit better than last year. I know Fernando Alonso was a talk of the town last year, and he had an impressive performance until an engine blew an opportunity for him to finish in the top five. But story out of here, Ed Carpenter Racing and the man himself, the owner, driver owner, Ed Carpenter, starts P1 Sunday afternoon, and of course the nightcap with the Coca-Cola 600. But before this Indy 500, of course, you got the famous Monaco race, F1 from Monaco. That's a big deal over there. I watched the second half of that race last year, and I might be tuning in for that race again. I'll talk more about that later on this week, but definitely that was an experience last year watching that race from Monaco on a television screen. I might add, but definitely Ed Carpenter doing his thing in the front row set, obviously with three cars. Carpenter, Simon Pagenaud, who was a non-factor last year in the Indy 500, and you have Will Power sitting there in starting third. So that's your starting front row, leading your field to green on ABC. Can't wait to watch this race. And obviously, when I talk about star-studded, look at these names. Joseph Newgarden, the defending champion. Sebastian Bourdais, who won this year. Danica Patrick, who's back in it, wrapping up her last race in motorsports. Elio Castroneves, a multi-Indy 500 winner. Scott Dixon, also a winner, who he had an adventure last year going upside down. Tony Kanaan, Marco Andretti, the list goes on. Ryan Hunter-Reay, a former winner. Charlie Kimmel, Takuma Sato, the big win a couple years ago. Well, I probably would say actually last year, if I'm not mistaken, he's the defending winner of this race. That's right. Sato, the defending winner of this 500. He's going to try to go back to back. James Davison, Max Chilton, Looking down here, some more. My goodness. Oriel Servia, J.R. Hildebrand, who almost got an upset bid a while ago. So, all the way from top to bottom, across the board, big time names. And James Hincliffe to not be a part of that. That's got to really be a down the dumps moment for him. Unfortunately, you know, a racing deal. But I don't like the qualifying style anyways, because it's kind of like the world course racing deal, where a driver can cost you a lap and you can be starting deep in the field or worse than that. But you got to deal with drivers coming on and off pit road and whatnot. And that's just a bad break. I'd rather just see them go solo, man on man, muscle on muscle, machine versus machine, things like that. But things happen, you know, highs of highs, highs of lows of lows, and that's definitely won't something James Hincliffe will not forget. But Danica Patrick, backing up to her for a moment here, final race. Obviously, we saw her at the Daytona 500. That did not go so well for her. Ended in a usual crash. Can Danica Patrick ride the ship and end her motorsports career on a high? You know, you got your ball sitting on the pole, and you're starting in the seventh spot in row number three, along with Elio Castroneves and Scott Dixon. That's a three-headed monster in itself. So Patrick is going to look to prove herself, and would that be a story if she could contend for the win? That would be something else. But again, we'll have to see what unfolds there. But Danica Patrick back to her roots, and who knows? She could be a force, and they got speed, for the most part, at least speed, in that IndyCar starting 7th. So again, Indy 500, we'll talk a lot more about that in the preview show coming up later on this week on the EG3 show. We will talk about that. Ooh, so much excited. Already getting excited for the weekend. Cannot wait to get to the end of this week. EG3 show getting closer to the end tonight on this post-race All-Star edition. 80 degree to 30 with you guys. Just a few more minutes on tonight's show. We still have our number of the week to give out as well. Stickers, helmet stickers. Only got really two for you guys this week. Obviously, Johnny Sauter being one of those, getting EG3 helmet sticker. And then that's the first one. And then not giving Harvick one, but Daniel Suarez earns EG3 helmet stickers of the week, and that's all I'm going to hand out this week. Johnny Sauter getting win number 3, and Daniel Suarez giving Harvick fits, but could not get the victory. So coming up short on that end as well. So EG3 helmet stickers, just 2 tonight, this week. Johnny Sauter and Daniel Suarez. I promise you folks, I'll have a lot more coming out of Memorial Weekend, folks, for you guys. So definitely stay tuned for that. All right, folks, number of the week, 20. This goes back to the Capable Truck Series, and we're going to stay with Johnny Sauter on this. 20. Johnny Sauter has now scored 20 consecutive finishes in the top 10 on mile-and-a-half tracks in the Capable Truck Series. Is that a streak or what? Johnny Sauter continues to put him up and put him down when it comes to the top 10 in on mile and a half tracks. And probably this, Johnny would say, was the toughest yet, like he said in his post-release comments there with FS1. And Sauter got the job done and continues that streak. That's something to keep an eye on. I did not know that until reading upon this above getting ready for this podcast. 20 straight races in a row that Sauter has finished in the top 10 on mile and a halves. That is crazy. So leave you with that. And before we wrap up tonight's show, we got a question coming out of a few new listeners this weekend from California. That's been a theme, part of the theme of the night as well. California kids, part of the NASCAR Next group. And we got Samuel from San Diego who wanted to ask me, what is your favorite type of NASCAR All-Star race? Is it the invert rule or racing heads up for the checkered flag? And I gotta tell you, from what I saw this week, Samuel, thank you for the question. Oh, by the way, you have a question, You can inbox me at ed@eddie_eg3. Inbox me a question, and it could be on the next episode of the EG3 podcast. Again, you can inbox me your questions at my Twitter handle, ed@eddie_eg3, or we will work on getting a Facebook question up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/EG3. But yes, back to Samuel's question, do I like the invert rule, or do I like what I saw the other night with this all-star package? And gotta tell you, I like the heads-up rule myself. Just, you know, you don't have to worry about holding back anything, or worry about, oh, we got to race for this position to try to get track position, all this other crappy stuff. You have an opportunity to race heads up, like we all saw the other night, and I really like what I saw with the new package and everything else. So definitely heads up, definitely the way to go. And this package was great for me, and A, for definite excitement, a huge change in NASCAR. Hit this one out of the park this time, and hopefully we'll see it again down the line somewhere. I know it's a little too soon, you know, for changes and all that. You know, Joey Logano was talking about that, but there's definitely some changes to work on for sure. We just don't know what it is yet, tweaks in here and there, but definitely this is a good way to start, folks. Great battles, especially within the top five. Top six, maybe, if I go back and seeing fierce battles and the drafts, side drafting, just like what we see in Daytona and Talladega, is a perfect example. And definitely, I definitely love this format. You just race head straight up and not have to worry about all this inverting and racing for a certain spot for an opportunity to get to the front. You have to have an opportunity to do that as well. So Samuel, thank you for that question. Appreciate that. From San Diego, which also was on that list of new listeners over the past week. Appreciate the question. And again, thank you for that as well. Facebook.com/EG3Show. Tune in for news this week. EG3 Show. Be on the lookout for that this week as we approach big weekend of motorsports. Definitely stay tuned for that. And of course, Podcast Center, Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review us if you have time for that. And like I mentioned last week, iHeartRadio has been added to the mix as well for the EG3 Show podcast. And this podcast continues to get notoriety as well as we continue to move on through the month of May. It's been awesome, folks. And definitely when other podcasts chimes in and helps you out as well, they want to get to know you as well. And we are starting to get noticed here as the regular season progresses as well. Definitely a shout out to all the podcasts out there supporting one another and all that. That's a big thing. That's a big ups to all of you guys. And I appreciate all of you. And we're going to continue to work together and definitely get to know each other as we move along. Definitely happy to see that as well. EG3 Show, the line continues to move. And you know what the other motto is on this EG3 Show, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who don't know, what is it? Join the movement, folks. That's right. Join the movement, folks. Sorry about the hesitation. Join the movement of the EG3 Show, folks. Y'all know what it is. EG3 Show. Join the movement. The train continues to roll. The Harvick King train continues to roll through Charlotte. And it's staying there at least for another week as we get ready for the Coca-Cola 600. Man, it's been good. And again, ladies and gentlemen, join the movement and spread the word also about the EG3 Show as well. Sorry about that, folks. Getting a little voice from downstairs, but just another 30 seconds here with you guys. Thanks for bearing with me tonight on the EG3 Show podcast. And hey, we're having fun like we always do each and every week. But the next time we'll be talking to you guys is, of course, our weekly stage break. And, of course, after that, preview show. Getting you set for a big-time weekend in motorsports across the board. EG3 Show, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it tonight on this Monday night. post-race reaction from the All-Star race, and we saw the most exciting race in the All-Star race in quite some time. I'm glad to see that everyone's been talking positive about this instead of the old negative from that. But right now, garage is closed. Thank you for listening to the EG3 Show podcast. And this episode will be up in the morning. So get ready for another excitement of EG3 Show talking to you guys about NASCAR. I'm going to leave you with sights and sounds. The last two laps in overtime, Kevin Harvick holding off Daniel Suarez to capture win number two in the All-Star race for Kevin Harvick. The Harvicking movement continues to move on in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Eddie Gruden III signing off for the EG3 Show. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good night. We'll talk to you next time on the EG3 Show podcast. We out.
Got the four car. I think the 19 might clear Kevin Harvick.
And here comes Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson down on the inside. He's digging.
Man, I really think Suarez could have gotten up in front of the four of Harvick right there. It would have been risky, but I think he could have done it.
One lap to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank.
Bounces
off the wall hard.
31 of Newman.
He's still right, up though. There. He's still going. I think he's going to be okay.
Everybody gets by.
Go stay green.
Joey Logano, Daniel Suarez. Will they have a chance at Kevin Harvick?
They're side by side.
Suarez really sealing that thing into third turn. He's going to come out in second place.
The closer, Kevin Harvick.